Hello all you rappers out there, what a great chat I have for you today. You are gonna be getting some awesome advice on social media. What to think of, what to pay attention to, and what not to do. And the man you're gonna be getting all that knowledge from is none other than the brains behind the Instagram account, The Rap Promoter, Mr. Chuck Courtois. So I leave it here, let's rap talk with Chuck Courtois. Welcome to the show, Mr. Chuck Courtois from The Rap Promoter. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for having me. I know we've had some trouble trying to make this work, but I'm glad I think we finally got it.
I was going to say, I think it's third time around now, but hey, I have faith this time.
Yeah.
It's all from storms and internet connections not working. Yeah, whatever. But now you're here, Chuck.
We're here.
Good to have you here. So what I know of you is that you are Canadian, you live in Ontario, you are a rapper, you have your own company, you are part of the MOB gang, and you are the brains behind The Rap Promoter.
Yes, yes.
But I'm guessing there's a lot much more behind you than that. So who is Chuck?
Chuck is a fourth generation sign guy, gone rapper. I grew up.
Oh, is that welcome in the family?
Yep.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah, I grew up in the sign shop working with my dad and my grandfather and my uncles. Like my whole entire family has some sort of ties to the vinyl industry, whether it's marketing or signs, silk screening, airbrushing. Like, we all have some sort of tie to it. So, yeah.
Right. So you've been at it for a while. It comes with the genes, I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, growing up in the sign shop, like, used to go work for my dad and my grandfather in the summers when I was off school or go after school. And, I mean, I think I've painted more signboards than probably anybody in the world, because that was my job every day after school, was painting 4x8 sheets of crayon.
Oh, so you did you started with the painting. Wow. That's much earlier than most of us.
My grandfather used to own a billboard company, so he had over 100 locations throughout the area. And, I mean, for an 8-foot by 24-foot billboard, it was all done in 4x8 sheets of crayon, and it was all hand-painted before, I mean, we really had plotters. Like, we had a plotter, but I mean, for a large format or a large size billboard, most of it was hand painted.
Yeah, so, it was cheaper, yeah. I guess.
But
All right, so you decided to try something different inside the business. You decided to go
raps.
Well, that's
it. I mean, growing up, I loved it, but I hated it. Like, I said I would never ever own a sign shop, and I haven't. So, I like the raps.
You're like a Disney movie. You at the beginning you say you're gonna hate it, you're never gonna do it, and then you come back and become the best at it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, well, that's it.
All right. So you started doing raps, right? Do you remember your first rap, when it was, and which one it was?
I mean, we did a lot of like trailers and stuff like that, but our actual first print was on a cube van, the side of a cube van. It was for a landscape company. They wanted a big print, so we had a 48 inch or a 36 inch NCAD printer, and that was our first printer. And
did you do the design as well, or you got the design?
I didn't do design. That was all my dad. I just did the install part. But, yeah, we printed it all in-house, design, print, in-house. And, we didn't have a laminator, so we used, like, liquid lamb, frog juice, and basically laid up the prints. And my dad was a sign painter as well, so He sprayed, after we printed them all, he sprayed them all with frog juice and let it dry, and then we installed it.
All right, that's the way to go about it. So, okay. So that was the first rep you remember, right?
Yeah, that was in like early 2000s, 2001, 2002, we did that.
Were you hooked at right there, or you needed to try a couple more reps before you...
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, the first time, because being a flat surface, it was pretty straightforward. I mean, there was some challenge to it because we had never had to line stuff up like that, like a print. But we got into selling, obviously, like real estate and different things with the printer. So it was getting more and more common. Then we did our own vehicles, and then, yeah, like I started to really enjoy doing wraps. I didn't want to do the signage anymore. I wanted to be in the shop, not changing a ballast on a sign in the middle of winter at minus 40. So the wraps was definitely my passion after that.
I can understand that. Okay, so I'm guessing you started working with your dad as well.
Yes, so... I learned everything with my dad, basically how to silkscreen print, how to hand paint, did a little bit of gold leaf, and he's kind of my mentor as well as my grandfather. So,
how did you learn to wrap then?
Basically, it was all just trial and error. I mean, there was no real training. Like our local distributor in Toronto. Obviously, they were a 3M distributor, so they had training, but not back then. I mean, training didn't come about until probably 2006 here, 2007. And even then, it wasn't very well known, so it wasn't what it is now.
And it wasn't like you could go on YouTube and search for a video either.
No, there wasn't any. Definitely not. Yeah. There was no YouTube then.
There's no YouTube, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, well, so yeah, so I'm guessing that you ended up learning by failure, I guess.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I had gone back. It was funny. Last summer, I went and looked at a job, a big fleet job that we had done for an electrical company here. And we did this in 2007, and I was like, I want to see what my install looks like now. And I was like, wow, like I couldn't believe that I did stuff like corners weren't perfect. It was an install for a commercial wrap, but there was really no regulations like there are now, where people are trying to make corners look like paint. Like, that's the stuff I strive for today, but back then you just tried to make it look good from far, kind of, and yeah.
It's 5 meter distance, or what, I don't know how many feet that is.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it was good to see what I did almost, 12 years ago, so.
Do you, you've wrapped a lot of different vehicles through the years, so do you remember any special project that you struggle extra with?
Probably like one of the most, I guess, recent ones within the last 3 years, that was probably a wrap that I pretty well almost gave up on, was wrapping a 76 or a 67 Cobra, Shelby Cobra. That was by far the hardest wrap I've ever done. And I actually talked to a couple other guys that have wrapped them, Mark from Wrap Monkeys or Monkey Wraps that makes the monkey strips. He's done one, and I was like, "How did you do that?" Because like the front is like wrapping a bubble, and it stressed me out. Where I almost gave up on it, but I didn't. I went through it, and took me probably close to 7 hours just to wrap the front fender.
So here comes an interesting question: what did you learn from it?
Not to do another one. But no, I mean, I say that, but I like the challenge. But I mean, it was stressful. But you know what? After I was done, you know, 3 days later, I'm like, it wasn't that bad. But it was probably the hardest rap I've ever done.
So I get you completely, and I feel for you, man. We all been there.
Yeah.
You wonder in the middle of the rap, you wonder why the hell did I take this job, and then you see the light some a bit after that.
Yeah. Proceed. Yeah. Definitely.
Besides all the rapping you were doing, somehow you started the Rap Promoter. How did it come about? What was the reason behind it?
I started the Rap Promoter in, I think it was 2013. It was right before the SEMA show. I wanted to give like other Canadians like myself info on the shows that were happening around the world, because I would call our distributor and be like, hey, do you have any information on ISA or SGIA or FESPA? Like, they don't know anything about it. They know about the Canadian International Sign Show, and that was it. So,
but how did you know about it?
Well, because I mean, with obviously social media, I became friends with a lot of different people in the industry, like one being Phil Aquin, who obviously is another Canadian. And I mean, a lot of people know who Phil is. So Phil would know a lot of the big shows. And then coming across like Jim Miller, Jeremy Connors, like those guys there go to all the big shows. So it was easy for me now to be like, hey, like what shows are coming up? And they would be like, hey, FESPA's coming up in Germany or whatever. So I was able to help get that information out there. And then I felt that I was pretty well connected with a lot of the manufacturers, with Avery, KPMF, and same with the distributors like the Frank Fellers and the Chris from Metro. So I was able to help get out information to Canada, which is now turned into the world, because we're over 52,000 followers just on Instagram alone.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's amazing.
So, and I've helped build it. So, and then I've met obviously Tim from Rapper Mapper, who is a fantastic guy. Like Tim and I mean, we haven't talked in a little while, but when we go to the shows, we'll catch up. And I mean, we both have the same drive for the industry. Same with Kevin from Rapfolio. Like we all talk, and now Austin from Pain is Dead, they're all doing the advertising as well, the same as us. So we're all together, and we all have the same goal of, you know, getting information out to the people and helping spread the industry around.
So if I get this correctly, you started out as an information site or maybe an account for Canadian rappers. When did you feel that it was turning into something bigger?
It was like in the first year, because it was just growing and growing. Like within the first year, I was able to keep track of how many industry people followed my page, because it was under the 10,000 mark. Well, now at 52,000, the percentage of actual industry people is smaller, but now I have the followers that the manufacturers need and the companies. So now I have shops. They're like, hey, can you help us, you know, share our rap and, you know, give us a shout out or whatever. Like it got really big. And I honestly did not expect that. But yeah, I'm definitely thankful for it.
So what would you say the Rap Promoter is now?
An outlet to get the right information out to almost everyone, whether it's the end user, the customer of who's looking for a rap, training, whether it's Avery, Elite Rappers, like all that. Like we can get information out that I guess, you know, 5-10 years ago was pretty well impossible before social media became. And it's hard to see where it's going, but it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, because that was going to be my follow-up question there. Where is it going in 2-3 years? Can you see that?
I've heard a lot of things. I mean, with all the specialty films and laminates and colors, designers and products, everything's changing day to day. And it really is. Every day, something new comes out. We were at the ISA show in Orlando, Florida, a couple weeks ago, and saw the new Arlon, I think it's the SLX reflective. Like, their wrappable reflective is insane. How bright it is!
It's a printable vinyl, right?
Yes. So they had a comparison to obviously to their competitor, and it was literally like night and day of how bright when the light hits it, the colors pop. It makes the print look more three-dimensional. So I see a lot of things going with that, and we're going to be working with Arlon to help, you know, get that information out there, because they've been working on this really hard for the past, I guess, year to 2 years since their color change line discontinued. But this is gold for them.
Right.
They're going in the right direction with this, and I can't wait to see where the 3Ms and the Averys go with theirs, because I know they all tend to be pretty competitive with their products, and hopefully 3M and Avery will try to keep up with them.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they come back with, really. I'm guessing that you get all the images and then you decide which one you want to put up.
Basically how it works is I'll have, so if I have like let's say for instance, I work closely with Frank from Image One Impact. So Frank basically gives me free reign to post his product. I mean, if you're on their email blast list, you'll get a lot of their info anyways. So we tend to use a lot of that. Plus, I use a lot of Image One tools, whether it's the vinyl racks or their magnets. They have a lot of great products. So me having that stuff, I'm able to say post a picture of their racks up hanging up in my shop, or using a Roly Pro or a wrap gloves. So they give me free range for that. I work with Metro as well. And they'll send me an ad with a caption, you know, whether it's their Elite Wrappers training or a new product release or something like that. Now, when it comes to a shop, a lot of the time, a shop will contact me and then say, hey, we want to do a feature. And I can do like a five photo feature for them on a job that they're very proud of. And then we post them and tag them in it. And hopefully they get something out of it, you know, from a local person looking for a wrap. And I mean, we get contacted every day, somebody looking for a shop in a certain area. And that's where myself being part of Masters of Branding, I can refer somebody that's in the mob, because we have 56 members worldwide. So there's always a mob member somewhere near someone. Or if they're looking for something specific to a certain area, if it's not a mob member in that area, they can go to Paint Is Dead, or we'll refer them to Rapper Mapper, because Tim has a lot of shops on his map. So it's just a good place for people to go to try to find an installer or a shop close by.
I didn't know that one. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm guessing that since you see all these pictures, you see trends, right? You see trends coming, going. What's your feel of it all? What trend are we on right now, for example?
It's hard to say because the Rust wraps are definitely still pretty popular. The psychedelic is still popular. I mean, lately, just in my shop alone, the mats are coming back, like matte black, matte anthracite, like a lot of matte colors. People are going back to the matte colors on their cars for color change, and it's doing a full circle again. It was, you know, matte black was popular back in the day. People wanted a matte black car. Then it went to all these crazy glosses. Well, now with the satin finishes. So the trend is it's changing all the time. So the chromes are popular. Then people want a satin chrome. And so, yeah. But the printed wraps are definitely pretty popular too. But I have noticed a lot of it is like Scott Keppel's liveries with his rust wrap and faded paint liveries are very popular. So that seems to be a big trend on social media.
Yeah, I think he hit the spot on that one with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you start a YouTube channel then?
Well, I have a YouTube channel. I just, like, I have so much going on with my own shop and social media. Like, how Austin or Tim have time to do all that? Like, my hat's off to those guys because, like, just me running social media myself and rapping,
So wait, hold that thought. Just so people understand, how many hours do you put in to social media daily? Approximately.
On average, I'm always on it. So if I'm rapping, I'll be on it because I'll be answering emails or posting. Like I try to post at least 8 to 12 times a day. But sometimes I don't get to post that much. It could be 2 times a day. Or it could be 4, but I spend a lot of time on social media, but then I also am running a business full time as well, which starts, 6 o'clock in the morning and sometimes can even go right up until six o'clock the next morning, depending on what the schedule is. Like right now, it's getting busy because of nice weather. So, but yeah, I spend a lot of time.
So wait. You post approximately 8 to 10 times, or you try to do 8 to 10 times post per day, Monday through Friday or Monday through Sunday?
Typically Sundays I try to keep as my family day. So I don't tend to post that much on Sundays, but basically Monday through Saturday I'll post.
So I would guess that would be around maybe on a total, if you were to count them all, that would be about 5 hours a day, right? 5 to 6 hours a day. You are somehow.
Yeah.
Because that I think it's important to get out so people understand how much time you really need to put on social media if you want to make it big.
Yeah, I mean.
If you could say that.
At the beginning, I was spending a lot of time. Like I used to post at one time like 20 times a day, but it was just getting too much. If there's people that get paid to just do social media and that's their job, it's a full-time job in itself for a company. Like if you look at the big shops that are posting religiously on social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, like it's a lot of work. And then if you have to get back to companies or customers. The other thing too is I actually run 4 other social media accounts. So I do my own, like my personal Instagram account. I have the Masters of Branding account, as well as I run Image One Impact's account. So, and then I have to deal with their customers. It's a lot of, I do a lot.
I hear that. Wow. Okay. So if I was to ask you your two best tips for social media for rappers, what would that be?
Well, a lot of it would be content, good content. You want to post stuff now with, you can post, videos, you can do your story, which is similar to Snapchat, where you can post a 24-hour snap and, you can basically go live. So live videos, you can do a 1 hour live video where you can interact with your followers. I've done a couple of them. It's once again, a lot of work to do because if like Kevin Kemp, for instance, will post up a live video of him rapping in a shop. Now you have a lot of people that are following that and they're commenting and stuff like that. So, I mean, to do that sort of thing, you can't really obviously interact while you're rapping because it's not reading out the messages, but it gives your followers a chance to see what you're doing at that time. So that's how you create a lot of followers, by being more active, doing live streams, as well as posting content. And
what would you say is a normal amount of posts per days, or how would one need to go about think about it?
Probably like when I first started, like I said, I was posting a lot through the day. I was sharing a lot of work, and obviously trending hashtags are big because it's what people are searching. So if there's something big trending, it helps. But in this industry, you want to keep it the hashtag related to what you're doing. So vehicle wraps or stuff like that. Like just come up with, you can search it and it'll tell you how many people are posting under that hashtag. So there could be like, you go to Pain is Dead's hashtag and they have like 100,000 different Pain is Dead hashtags. Well, the rap promoter, I think we're just under 10,000, but it's just, you want to keep it going and then more people will search it.
That's one of the tips, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. What would be the second one?
I don't know. Like it's all like, for me, like when I got into it,
it's all natural for you.
I didn't really know what I was doing. It just basically all comes down to good content. So say you're posting a video, a lot of people now, because Instagram is allowing a 1 minute video, are posting 1 minute videos. You want to target, if you're posting something, to draw someone in within 15 to 20 seconds. Or if you don't have something interesting, people are just going to go past it. They're not going to watch it. So you want to make sure you captivate your audience within that 15 to 20 seconds. So that would be something that, if you're posting videos, that would be...
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You hear rappers out there, 15 to 20 seconds, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So what not to do then?
Don't post a 1 minute video.
Oh, you're right.
There's a couple things like not to do. Like it all depends on your followers. Like you can get some people that push the bar of, let's say, like the nudity part of it, where obviously women are wearing like not a lot of clothes. So you have to be careful if you don't want to offend certain people. At the end of the day, it's your company. You can do whatever you want. But, I mean, try to keep it, if it is a business page, try to keep it a little bit classy, I guess. That would be my don't do, like, you know.
Another question I wanted to ask you about was, you see a lot of pictures, right?
Yep.
That you get sent to you or you take yourself. What do you consider a good picture? What needs to be in the picture for you to think, okay, this is a good pick. This one is gonna work.
Probably. It's hard to say because, I mean, a good photographer always helps with your photos.
Mm-hmm.
Like the setting, I find. I'm trying to think of some recently. I guess posted a video or a couple pictures for Tech Wrap, and they did a frozen chrome on a Mustang, and the background was like a winter setting, and it just made the color pop. So your setting is definitely is good for your content, as well as. You don't want to have like a picture with a car with a lot of junk in the back because people are going to see it and it's going to take away from the beauty of the photo. So I've had like a lot of people send in stuff where the settings are, say, like the mountains in the background at sunset, like stuff like that are really good photos.
So no wrap shop pictures then. You need to be careful with those.
Well, I mean, you can. There's a lot of shops that have really nice, clean shops.
Yeah, but hey.
Yeah, you want to have like a good picture. Good content always helps.
Right, so now we're back to you then, Chuck. I would like to know what you love wrapping the most. Besides that Shelby, of course.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of work with a company just outside. It's up in Northern Ontario, Canada, called ECD Customs, and we deal with a lot of SEMA builds. So we do a lot of big lifted trucks. I really enjoy wrapping SEMA stuff. I love it. So it's just stuff like that.
What is it that you love so much of that?
I don't know.
It's just nice.
Yeah, like I love wrapping the lifted trucks. I mean, they're big. They're a lot of our stuff is really colorful. So mm-hmm. The designs are cool. So I just love, I don't know. It's a challenge on some of them with, say, they want the door handles and the sides to match and the print, like that challenge to me, like I enjoy doing that stuff to trying to, like I did a Jeep a couple years ago and I mean, it took me a long time to wrap the hinges, but I made the print and the hinges line up perfectly. And we printed them separate, but it took time to do it. But the outcome of it was fantastic. Like it got a feature in one of the big trucking magazines here in North America. So, I mean, just that makes it worth it.
The follow-up question to that is, what is your favorite color at the moment?
My favorite color?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably, honestly, would be KPMF, matte titanium blue ice or matte. I always screw this up. And I helped develop that color. It's the ice titanium blue by KPMF. I love that color. That I worked with KPMF to develop it, and it's probably my favorite color of all time.
So for those people out there, rappers that don't really know what it means to help develop a special color, what does it mean to help? Do you bring the color yourself to them? Do they approach you? Do you consider the colors together?
So I ended up going down to KPMF with Ryan Knoppers from Knopps Wraps in Edmonton, Alberta. We went down there, got a tour of their facility, and we got the opportunity to come up with two colors. So I had asked them about doing a color that looked like a satin blue chrome, which was the titanium the ice blue titanium, as well as Knopp wanted the imperial orchid. Like, he loves purple. So he helped develop imperial orchid, which is probably by far one of my most favorite purples ever made. So we were able to help develop that. And it was pretty awesome to go from seeing the first part of when the color is made to seeing it actually being, you know, on a vehicle.
Oh. But did you guys develop the color in one day?
No. So basically, my color was a little bit easier to make. That Anastasia from KPMF was actually able to make the color sample while we were at KPMF. Now, for Knopf's color, it took a little bit because there was different shades of purple. So he was able to come up with his, I think, within a month or two, that by the time they created a couple samples, and then he picked the one he liked, and then it was all history. I mean,
there you go. So what's next for you, Chuck?
We're getting ready for, obviously, our SEMA stuff starts now, more or less. We have people contacting us. I'm in a shop now with a good friend of mine, Jamie. He owns an auto parts customization shop called Grounded Concepts, which is just about an hour just outside of the city of Toronto. So we've kind of joined forces, and we run the wraps out of here, as well as he does all the customization of cars, whether it's lifts or lowering, body kits, everything. Anything auto-related, he takes care of, as well as he's been working with me with the wraps and vice versa. So we've grown up together, and we're just trying to, you know, take over, I guess, in our area.
Canada.
Like, in our area, just trying to put out the best product we can and have fun doing it. So
cool. So that's for you privately. What's up for the rep promoter?
We went to, like I said, to ISA and made some new connections with some new companies. So we're going to start advertising more of, I guess, the tools of the industry, whether it's printers. We're going to be working, well, we work with Wrap Glove, as well as a little bit with the PID Pro series. We're going to be getting out a lot of the new product. So whenever, you know, new things come out, we're going to let everyone know about it.
Great. So we're looking forward to that. So if someone, for whatever reason, doesn't have you on Insta or Facebook now, where can they find you at?
At the Wrap Promoter, both Instagram, Twitter, I believe, is just Wrap Promoter. And Facebook is Wrap Promoter. So,
are you at Snap as well or not?
Yes, I have a Snapchat as well, which is The Wrap Promoter.
How did you find that works for you?
Snapchat, I just use it more for my personal, but do a little bit of Snapchat. It's like, once again, hard to keep up with everything. So every now and then I'll pop in and use my Snapchat and just show different things that we're working on and different videos of, say, like training or whatnot. But yeah, my major outlet is just Instagram. So,
all right, cool. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk to the rep world now freely. Okay. And you can tell them whatever you want. What would that be? no pressure.
I don't know. I think the biggest thing for the rap world is, for me, training. Things are changing daily. I think a lot of people, whether old or new to the industry, training is definitely worth it. Whether it's with Justin Pate, John Duver, it's with Albert Hatfield, it's with one of the 3M guys. There's so many to name now. Arlon with Richie Days, Christian Krungle from CK Raps with Vivid. There's all kinds of training, and I think people need to do more training. So, because it helps. You pick up a trick. Like for Justin, for instance, travels the world, and say somebody in North America doesn't necessarily see a trick from someone in Japan. You know, Justin's able to bring that to a class and show someone. So I think that's good. Certifications are good, definitely, because it helps add to your portfolio. I know there's a couple people that maybe don't think that a certification is necessary, but you know what? It doesn't hurt your business. If anything, it'll make your business look better. So right.
I remember when I was talking to Kevin Kemp.
Yep.
And he said that he was in one of those classes as well. The training, sorry. And I don't remember how many days he was there, but I think he was there for 2 or 3 days. But he got one tip out of it all.
Yeah.
And that tip was worth all those other hours. And like he said, you never know. You never know what you're going to get, but you need to go there with an open mind and see what you get. Maybe you help others. Maybe you get help. You never know.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the thing is, so being a part of the mob, I mean, everybody comes from somewhere in the world. I mean, like I said, we have 56 members worldwide, from Tadashi in Japan, from Jim Miller to Justin Page, Kevin. There's guys everywhere. So there's good tips to learn from people, as well as we also have a group here in Canada called the Canadian Rap Masters. We're pretty new. The group was started about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. We're trying to have at least a couple members in every province in Canada, but we have some good talent in the group. A lot of the guys that are in it are 3M preferred. We have, Phil is also a member of that as well. So just having Phil's knowledge with 3M, whether it's Knifeless or the whole 180 line, like there's not a lot that Phil doesn't know. Phil is definitely full of knowledge.
And he always shares. That's the beauty. He loves to share. Chuck, I gotta say, first off, wow, that's a lot of knowledge. You are an extremely hardworking man, gotta say. And I gotta thank you for taking your time for the third time around to get this done. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I thank you for. I know we only if people knew how hard this was to for us to be able to talk. But I'm glad you were patient, and we were able to finally do it. And I can't wait to hear it when it comes out.
To tell you what, it's like that Shelby you did. You don't know when you're going to get done or how you're going to do it, but you in the end, you end up doing it and you're proud of it. So,
yeah,
for that, I got to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for taking your time. It's been a true pleasure. And I hope to see you in SEMA then.
I will definitely be there. So, yeah, it would be nice to meet you. I see I actually watched your video that you posted of your tour the other day.
Yeah,
that was neat, but it would be nice to finally meet you in person. So I will definitely be at SEMA. We just have to come and cross paths somewhere.
We'll do that. All right, Chuck, thank you very much. Have a really nice day.
Yeah, you too as well. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.